Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful, poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Good day, my friends, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Greetings from the Sirius Cluster and the Arcturian Brotherhood, who are giving us mighty assistance at the birth of this new age, though it may be and is in fact largely unknown among the comatose populations of this cultural dead zone of worldwide materialism. I don't know if people would be as widely clueless as they are in some other time. We don't have as much record of other times. I apologize if the sound quality is not quite as good as it might be. For some reason, my main microphone won't work, and I'm using a backup. We're cruising over the wide Pacific Ocean this evening in our saucer pod. Just thinking about this and that, what this means and what that means, not that we would know what any of it means, even if we know what any of it meant, if that makes any sense. A powerful and enormous hailstorm hit here today. I was on my way to the supermarket when I saw the black clouds coming. Lightning was flashing. Thunder was booming. It looked like a pretty intense rainstorm was coming, and I told myself I had the time, even though there was still a quarter of a mile to go to the store and another mile back once I left. I came out of the store, and the clouds were much closer. So I went at a good pace, hampered somewhat by the shopping carryall that I was pulling. And by the time I got home, the clouds were right overhead. I came inside, and a few minutes later, it hit. It looked like your generic thunderstorm at first. And boy, the hail. Suddenly, after that, the whole yard was white. The general size of the hailstones ran from a big marble to a golf ball. And I'm guessing some people were out walking in it, not expecting what showed up. I wondered if there was any kind of West Coast connection to those East Coast snowstorms. The weather is always an indicator of things besides the weather. There is more than is understood about these things in the East than there is in the West. The weather is an expression of the action of the jinns. On occasion, while on psychedelics out in the wild and far from human habitation, I've seen them. They can look pretty intimidating if you're one of the intimidated sort. Their power over your mind is directly connected to your fear of them. Fear is atavistic, and it is also learned. It can come through telepathic invasion, conditioning, or the result of previous dramatic events. I'm sure you can become fearful as a result of other things I haven't mentioned, but it's not how you become fearful that is of primary importance. It's how you become fearless that matters. The divine has no fear. Any complete servant or devotee of the divine has no fear, for they are under the sheltering wings of angels that are more powerful than anything that might otherwise cause fear. Fear is a direct expression of a lack of faith, which is directly connected to a shortage of love. Love displaces fear. Fear is a byproduct of materialism for all kinds of reasons that I don't need to get into, except to also mention that materialism generates and amplifies attachment. Right there, you got fear of loss based on an absolute certainty of loss taking place at some point. We mention this simply to illustrate that there are all kinds of fear. What started us on this digression? Right, gins. Gins are a lot more diversified than simply weather controllers. There's a jinn for every day of the week. It's said in Islamic teachings that everyone has a jinn assigned to them. In Hebrew, the equivalent of a jinn is jinn. And in Christian teachings, it's known as a familiar spirit. Or at least that's what they call it. This indicates to me that there must be various orders of magnitude of jinns. Some are very powerful and some less so. Some have various powers and some only a single ability. I have no certainty of this, but it is what my intuition tells me. I get a lot of things from my intuition. Some of them I never got from books or manifest teachers or any conversation of outward kind. Of course, the more I get, the more certain I am of how little I know. Every one of us is in a different state of being and awareness. Some of us are free to come and go, more or less, and do what we wish. Some are not. Some of us are locked into a specific course and have no access to powers and abilities that are demonstrated by others, however rare they may be, because the possession of such powers will only get us into trouble. Powers and the pursuit of powers are only for those who need to learn a lesson concerning them. One might say that everything any one of us is in pursuit after, besides the ineffable, is connected to a lesson we need to learn concerning any of it. Knowing this keeps me, most of the time, free of the desire for much of anything except for union with the ineffable. It's difficult to put into words how important seeking after union with the ineffable is. Let me begin by stating a few unshakable truths. Now, of course, there are those who will say these are not unshakable truths. Where's your proof? The unfortunate reality is that even when I provide truth, it is never enough. Because people believe what they want to believe. They believe what suits their idea of reality, that which they have constructed to satisfy the impetus of their self-interest. If something competes with or runs counter to their self-interest, they reject it. This is how people play God when they are not God, and it is also why they do it badly. The only way to become God is to host God. You become God after a fashion when God is allowed the freedom to express in you without hindrance. When your selfish self is subjugated, you can dance with the divine. And this is the meaning of the creature beneath Shiva Nataraja's foot. His other foot is raised in dance. It is a timeless demonstration of a cosmic truth. Back to unshakable truths. Here we go. Physical life in the being you identify as you is temporary. That is an unshakable truth. Individual lives repeat over and over in vastly different circumstances depending on what is required according to the demands of one's karma. Except where grace applies in the rare instances when it does. Karma is absolute, and in many cases due to the powerful force of self-interest and delusional attractions, it can go on for tremendous lengths of time. Factor in the words of the Buddha. All life is pain caused by ignorant desire. Ponder that. This means that not only can one be born over and over into different circumstances again and again and again, but they will suffer for the imperative of being here. The only thing you take with you when you move from life to life are the changes made to your being and your soul and your karma. You lose everything else from life to life. This means every physical thing you struggled after through that life is gone. As the prophet said, vanity. All is vanity. He also said, there is nothing new under the sun. Think about that. There's another absolute truth. When you leave your physical vehicle, you travel in more subtle bodies to other planes, and there you experience conditions that are consonant with what your behavior here on earth merited. This is where our ideas of heaven and hell come from. I'm not going to get into what those are and how they measure up to the classic ideas that are given to us in various scriptures. This is not to say that I know anyway with any kind of unshakable authority, because I do not. What I do know is that people suffer in the afterlife, and sometimes they go to higher planes where they do not suffer but are rewarded for their behavior here, rather than punished as some are. I should point out now that these residences in luminous spheres, the heavens, are also temporary, It is as if one travels in their lives with a meter that registers points that add up to the periods of residence allowed in different locations. Think of it as something like frequent flyer miles, except that each frequent flyer mile also contains a direction. Everything here is about learning, and that learning also transfers to further learning in other locations. In some ways, this is a vicious cycle that repeats and repeats and repeats in the variations necessary to bring certain truths to your attention. Has any of this impacted on your thoughts? I do not pretend to have this all figured out, but what I have told you is accurate, and it is also confirmed in the scriptures of various faiths. Some of them go into real detail, and some of them are allegorical, but there are similarities between all of them, and I have seen plenty of these. If you have read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it goes into significant detail about what happens once you die and where you can wind up. It's got some scary images. If you have ever seen Tibetan Buddhist and other Buddhist wheels of life, you may have noticed that they include realms of being, and the reason for this is that people actually go to these levels of being when they leave. It is also quite possible to be reborn as an animal in all kinds of conditions due to karmic debts that require specific births to repay behavior here. It makes sense if you are one of these people who have tormented animals while you were here. Say you owned animal farms where livestock were kept in horrendous conditions. I have read, apropos of nothing really, that there was one individual who was born as a fox 500 times. It wasn't for livestock abuse. It has something to do with offending someone of some importance spiritually. I can't remember the details at the moment. Seemed a little ridiculous at the time when I was reading it, but I don't always understand everything, and that means that sometimes things happen for reasons not even given. Think of the souls of those who send men to war and who cause horrific suffering. Think of those who toss people out of their homes so that they can steal them from them. Think of the people who poison people with toxic foods and who poison rivers and populated areas in the interest of profit. We got plenty of those running around in these times. Think of those who run prisons for profit and allow all sorts of abuse, and those who put people in prisons in order to meet quotas for which they receive compensation. Think of those who put people in prison when they know they're not guilty of crimes. Think of those who operate in the financial sector and who steal right and left. Think of those who are politicians and who facilitate horrible conditions on those whom they were entrusted to serve. Think of those who abuse children and who lie to and program children. I've only come up with a few things. I could go on and on and on about all of this, but I am sure you can fill in the blanks. Do you think these kind of behaviors go unpunished? They do not. You see the punishments meted out in different lives every day, but you don't associate them with their previous behaviors. And let us not forget what can happen on those planes where we are not permitted to observe. There are some who can, but that is also rare. Striving for the ineffable immediately puts you on a course that automatically includes the swiftest and most certain resolution to everything that relates to you, karmically and potentially. If you are sincere, then the direction of your life is changed according to your coming under the increasing protections of the one you seek. This is not to say that you will not suffer on your way, but you'll suffer anyway, as was noted by the Buddha. This is not to say that you'll become rich or famous or that you will not die. What I will say is that anything is possible, and I'll include a reference from the Bible that states, "We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." Think about that. I will tell you another absolute truth. There are those walking this earth at this very time who have been around for hundreds of years and longer. There are those walking this earth who have remarkable powers conferred upon them by the ineffable, and some of them can dematerialize themselves as well and precipitate new bodies at will. These are only a few of the possibilities that exist for those who love and seek after the ineffable. I am not saying this will happen to or for you. What I'm saying is that the path that is walked by sincere devotees can lead to all kinds of wonderful results, and that chasing after the things of the world will lead to nothing but heartbreak and loss. We deceive ourselves about conditions here, and the enjoyment that we think we are going to get here, The promises of life's allurements are not what one imagines would happen when one reflects about them in the later aftermath of those experiences. It's like romantic relationships. They can be easy to get into and difficult to get out of. Not to mention the price one can be forced to pay should the whole thing fall apart later on. Think about the things that have happened in your own life, and if not there, in the lives of people that you know or have heard about. Look at the headlines of the day. Look at the deteriorating conditions in the world at large due to the machinations of either seriously misguided or consciously evil people. Pay attention. And I'm not saying that those listening to this right now do not pay attention. But you know, there are levels of paying attention. There are degrees of focus and concentration. And you would be very much amazed at what it is possible for a person to achieve who comes into the possession of, you know, greater awareness, increased concentration and focus. Anyway, my friends, it appears that we have come to the end of yet another broadcast. And I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, please consider the things that have been said here tonight. For myself, knowledge of these things motivates me, and yet I forget. I forget over and over, and it stymies and mystifies me, but I persist. One day I will remember and never forget again. And hopefully, in this life, and hopefully for you as well, may the ineffable guide protect and lead you home to the hidden and eternal kingdoms in the heart of the Almighty and into the land of everlasting bliss. And that said, hail Lord Jesus Christ. Much love, Lady Nature. Bismillah Irrahman Irrahim. Om Amitabha. Greetings, my dear friend Lord Ganesh. Hare Krishna. Karyan Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru.
He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIG Radio Network of Stations.